My name's Sean Collier. I'm joined by Robin Hitchcock. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're back because Diana Prince is back.
That's right.
So we're here, and we're going to talk so much about Wonder Woman and some about the other people in this movie. And I know that everyone listening wants to know right away, is it good? And we both made the same noise. We're just going to make that noise for 30 minutes. This week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. The guys would love it if you would subscribe and rate and review the podcast. It only would take a minute. Just write a few words. Doesn't have to be 400 words like Sean's movie reviews. If you like an episode, share it. It's like the easiest thing ever. Just don't do it during a movie because like that's rude. You can catch me on Add It Up with Your Best Friend Addie interviewing musicians and comics and basically anybody I find entertaining. And we tackle a different topic every episode. So come and laugh along with us.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, November, almost made it, November 17th, right?
That's correct.
2017, the day when the great DC Extended Universe experiment proves itself unwieldy. Yes, Justice League is out, and I don't know, Robin, where do you want to begin?
So I feel like I saw this at the exact wrong moment in the backlash cycle for the DCEU.
Yeah.
Like, when, obviously, I hated Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
As all reasonable people did.
Is terrible.
Yeah.
I wasn't really into Man of Steel before that. I actually never finished Man of Steel.
I feigned appreciation. Like, I walked out of Man of Steel convincing myself that I had liked it.
Okay.
And, like, made an argument for why I enjoyed it, and then that faded immediately away.
Right.
It is mediocre at best, and even that is being generous.
So I had very low hopes for their whole enterprise here.
Right.
And Suicide Squad, I also did not enjoy. But Wonder Woman, obviously, as yeah. with so many people, completely changed my attitude about this, proved that there could be a good DCEU movie,
mm-hmm.
and then Justice League started to get decent word of mouth. I really enjoyed the last couple trailers.
Yeah, they tried.
It worked. I remember after watching, I think, what they called, like, the final trailer, I was like, wow, okay, yeah, I want to mm-hmm. see this movie. And, like, when you asked me to come to the screening, I was pumped.
Yeah.
So I did not come into this with basement-level expectations. So my expectations weren't met.
No.
I certainly didn't expect it to be great.
Right.
Like Wonder Woman was. But I expected it to be solid, and it's not quite there.
Yes, it is better than Batman v Superman.
Everything is.
Yeah, that's a very low bar. Most people are going to say it's better than Suicide Squad. I kind of liked Suicide Squad. So
okay, I found this better than Suicide Squad. Yeah. Primarily because it's more coherent.
I think you're going to have the like consensus. I think the consensus is going to be it's better than Suicide Squad. I think the dividing line on Suicide Squad is, were you annoyed by Margot Robbie and Jared Leto? And I liked them.
I was annoyed by them.
Yeah, I think, which either side of that coin is fine with me. Like, that is
To be fair, I was annoyed by Jared Leto.
Okay.
Yeah. Mostly because I find him abhorrent as a human being, and I found his portrayal
uh-huh.
as the Joker unnecessary, and I was upset by off-screen stuff. So
yeah,
it's too tainted,
right? But yes, so the thing that people are going to agree that this is better than Batman v Superman. Most people are going to say this is better than Suicide Squad. It is coherent. It is like, here's a movie with a relatively concise arc and a beginning, middle, and end where the things happen. In that, it does better than several of the movies we just mentioned.
There's a whole lot of beginning.
Yeah. Yes.
It takes about an hour for them to bring the band together.
Well, the entire thing is, without any spoilers, this is like the entire aim, goal, and point of this movie is to get the Justice League together.
Right.
So the fact that you know that that's definitely going to happen makes there's less stakes in this than any of the DCEU movies. There's never a moment of tension.
That is fair to say.
And you mentioned, due to context we will not reveal, you mentioned Teen Titans Go, which I have not watched.
Actually, just Teen Titans.
Or Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Those are different things?
Yes, is my understanding.
Okay.
I think. I'm confused. I don't know. The Teen Titans cartoon.
The Teen Titans cartoon series. I was thinking during the film, this feels like a cartoon about DC characters.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they didn't earn any gravitas.
So I also loved the Justice League cartoon and then Justice League Unlimited.
Okay.
And which the whole reason that I like care about Batman is Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with a cartoon. This just felt even hollow for a cartoon.
Well, it felt like on a very special episode of Batman the Animated Series, the Justice League is there.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like.
I feel like that's an insult to Batman the Animated Series.
Okay, yes. Probably better than any of this. But I watched it as a child. Is that worth going back to,
yes,
by the way? Really?
Yes.
Huh.
That show is incredibly well done.
Okay. I know people say that, but then I know there was all that hype about that R-rated animated version of The Killing Joke.
Do not. That is so not fair to compare. Kevin Conroy's voice is involved, and Mark Hamill's voice is involved.
Those are not the same.
They are the same voice actors.
But that's not the same universe as Batman the Animated Series?
I don't think so, and it's so creatively and artistically different.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be mentioned in the same breath.
Okay. Well, yes, I will trust you on these points. But I make this comparison because, you know, there's no way, in nobody's mind at any point from, you know, any audience member up to and including Ben Affleck, everyone knows that this is an imitation of the first Avengers movie.
Yes.
And the difference to me is the Avengers did years of work earning the need to assemble the Avengers.
Right.
And this is just, hey, here's a movie with the Justice League, K-bye.
So the thing about the Avengers that was so well done is that they found a way to make it personal for every single person involved.
Right.
And they try to do that here. They vaguely set it up so that, with the exception of, I guess, the Flash, but he immediately, as you see in the trailers, he's like, I want friends, let me do it.
Yeah.
They try to make it personal, but it never feels that way.
I'm sure that there's a 3.5 hour Zack Snyder cut of this where like they all have 40-minute backstories, but that's not how you do it either. I mean, we've been saying this since the Justice League was announced, but if you wanted to do this, the Aquaman movie and the Flash movie and the Cyborg movie and another Batman movie all would have had to have happened before now.
We definitely needed at least one more movie. I feel like it probably was either Aquaman or Flash. I'm fine with Flash as comic relief and not fully fleshed out.
Sure, sure. Well, let's run it down to, to get into a little bit of... So, Batfleck is back, and, like, I've gone from, like, begrudgingly saying that he's fine to, like, just regarding him as a total non-factor.
I think that's fair. He is fine.
Yeah.
He's pretty old.
Yeah.
Which they address a little bit. And also, like, Ben Affleck, you need to talk to your stylist. Just go gray gracefully.
Right.
Your hair dye is very strange. You've got, maybe it was the projector. It's a very reddish hue going on in his hair. And I'm not sure if it was CGI de-wrinkling on his forehead or intense Botox.
I think it was CGI.
They did CGI on Ben Affleck's face in this movie.
I think so.
That's embarrassing.
And yet, do you doubt it?
No, I don't.
The only thing about him is I have a moment of sadness every now and then where I go, wow, this is Batman. This is like the theoretical coolest superhero of them all. And his presence in this series is like, oh, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yes, that's very true.
And for me, this didn't really redeem that in any way.
No. Yeah. They tried so hard, I think, to make him less miserable.
Yeah.
But Batman kind of needs to be a little bit miserable.
Yeah.
Let everyone else be happy.
Yeah, right. starting with, well, okay, let's, so Wonder Woman, please go first.
All right, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot has so much charisma.
Yes.
And is such a joy to watch that every time Wonder Woman was on screen, I was happier than I was the rest of the movie.
Right.
But they give her basically nothing to do. And it feels like this talking about like hollow motivations, like some serious stuff happens with the Amazons. And that should be a huge deal to her.
Right.
And it's like a non-factor. And then there's also a very gross thread. And I might be overreacting to this, but I really felt like a little bit of like, oh, you boys.
No, that was definitely in there.
Like, she makes some line like, I work with children. And like, when you have one woman on this team.
Yeah.
That's gross. I don't need that.
It wasn't bad enough to, you know, it wasn't bad enough to do harm to the character. Only because Gal Gadot is so perfect.
Yes.
Like, however, I this isn't a spoiler because it happens very early on and is in the trailers to a degree. So when the villain, do people know who the villain is?
Didn't know who the villain was, but I also don't think it counts as a spoiler because who is that guy?
Yeah, well, and I'm definitely going to mention it on DVE to make a classic rock joke. So the villain,
very good point.
The villain is Steppenwolf, who I guess originates in the Wonder Woman series.
I don't know.
He's ancient evil world killer number 17B. And his first big action is going to Themyscira and just straight fucking shit up with basically no resistance.
Right.
And it definitely like hurt my soul, one.
It was a sad scene.
Yeah. And two, felt silly when it's like, DC, Warner Brothers, you probably should have seen coming that the fact that Wonder Woman would instantly become the focal point of your entire existence. And now you're kind of like, oh, Themyscira, we can, you know, just have some random violence rain down on that without further implication.
My guess is that that was their the stakes are real. These badass warrior society is no match for this bad guy.
Yeah.
But it really did feel like he just like knocked everyone down.
Yeah.
And it felt like they weren't treating Themyscira with respect more so than they were forcing us to respect this bad guy.
Yeah.
My main issue with the bad guy was he's a CGI face.
Who even played him?
It's Kieran Hines.
Who's that?
He's an Irish actor. I think that's an Irish name. You definitely recognize his face.
Uh-huh.
And he, because he has one of the best faces in cinema.
Look at his face.
Such an expressive, beautiful face.
Yeah, that guy.
You all will recognize this person. And he did fine with the voice work. But why not use that beautiful face for its cinematic instrument, right?
Yeah. He's in every, like, weighty 2.5-hour drama set in Europe ever.
Correct.
Including, you know, like every British actor is a significant character in the Harry Potter universe. But anyway.
Who is he in Harry Potter?
He's Dumbledore's brother.
Oh, okay.
Aberforth Dumbledore. That's a waste of him, but only in the way that, and this isn't exclusive, this is by no means, DC does not have the market cornered on this.
Of course not.
Only in the way that basically every comic book villain is kind of wasted.
Right.
But to wrap up Wonder Woman, I was trying to find the metaphor for it as I was sitting there, and perhaps it was your influence. Are you ever watching an improv show where the team just is not gelling that day, but there's one person who's really on?
Yes.
And you're like, when they're on stage, you're like, okay, I'm going to cling to this.
Yes.
That's Wonder Woman in this movie. Like,
yep.
There's some nonsense, but hey, sometimes Wonder Woman's there, so that's good.
But here's the thing, is that individually, like, The Flash is funny.
Okay, yeah, so going down the list, The Flash, like, that's the other bright spot for me because they let Ezra Miller be himself.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's funny. The comic relief is effectively comic and effectively relieving.
Yes.
So, great. Jason Momoa is Aquaman. Are you
angry that he stole your signature eyebrow scar?
No, actually, I'm really excited that he's on the team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who else is on the team?
Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
The guy who played Spike on Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
The chick who plays Diaz on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah. She's got a... Please consider her for best actress in this movie that no one's going to see out.
Oh.
Which I'm going to watch because I really like her. Stephanie Beatriz. And she is in a movie called... I'm plugging it even though I haven't actually watched it. The Light of the Moon. She is the star and it is a serious Sundance drama.
Interesting.
Or South by Southwest drama. Where they're like, no, really, watch this. You might want to, you know, which is not going to happen. But
right.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Anyway, I almost hated Aquaman.
So, like, he's just macho. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, the scene where he is drinking the liquor from a bottle and then, like, throws it onto the rocky shore. It's like a cartoon. It's so funny. But he did make me laugh a few times. He's nice to look at.
He looks the part. He cuts a dramatic figure.
Correct.
His physical presence makes Aquaman credible. Where Aquaman has been a punchline for 30 years.
That's true.
That I can give him credit for. I was almost always somewhere between bored and annoyed by him on screen. And really feel like, not to very narrowly island of origin type cast, but all of this screams like, oh, so The Rock didn't want to sign on for that many movies, eh?
They can't afford The Rock.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But he definitely feels like at some point they were like, we need to get him to act as much like The Rock as possible. Like, it feels like his existence here is to be You
and
know.
They should just let him be Jason Momoa, who's yes. charming and wonderful in his own right.
Yes.
This scene that takes place underwater is the ugliest scene in the movie.
I zoned out so hard.
They desperately need to fix that situation before yeah. they make the Aquaman movie. Or I guess they're making it right now.
I think it's already like... It may be in post-production.
Well, I assume that all of that was drawn and is post-production.
Yeah.
But it's ugly. It's just like, they're moving real fast underwater. It creates lots of tiny bubbles, so you can't see anything.
That movie is out soon. No, that movie is out a year from now, so...
You have time to fix it.
Yeah, you
fix
definitely
it.
Have time to fix it. Man, this has a good cast.
I'll suspend my disbelief.
I have some hope only because it has a good cast and James Wan is directing it.
Okay, fair enough.
He was my least favorite part of this movie. And Cyborg is like...
Cyborg... Okay, Cyborg's superpower in this movie is essentially that he is a human computer book from Inspector Gadget. Remember how Penny had a
little book
that could interface with any mm-hmm. electronic thing? Cyborg is that, but he walks around also.
Yeah.
And his loosely defined powers really bothered me. His characterization
he can shoot
things
and fly,
was maybe? He's like really grumpy for his first few scenes and then kind of off screen decides to be nice to everyone all of the sudden.
Yeah. Also bad costuming.
Why is he so bumpy?
Because he's His cyborg, like, he hasn't mastered, like, developing his cyborg parts right, so he's self-conscious, so he wears a weird tracksuit over them, and looks like, oh, man.
Yeah, so his cyborg parts are ugly, they're weirdly bumpy,
yeah.
He looks like a Godzilla toy, but yeah. made of metal, Mecha Godzilla.
Yes.
And then you're correct. Right, he wears ugly sweatpants over it.
Yeah, that was, and his backstory is like, hey, throw various elements of Spider-Man in a pot.
Yeah.
And it's, yes. So, you're left with Flash and Wonder Woman are fun, and here's some other guys.
Yep.
It's, yeah. Like, I would watch a standalone Flash movie. I don't know if they'll have it. So, you might know better than I do. The news out of DC is like, okay, they're going forward with Aquaman, but because Wonder Woman is the best thing ever and everything else they've done has been met with, like, shrugs, they're like, maybe extended universes aren't the best. We're just going to do various standalone things. That's my understanding.
I don't have a better understanding
okay.
than that. I just know that their Aquaman is made.
Yeah.
And they set a release date for Wonder Woman 2,
yeah.
which is November 2019. So
that long. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Wonder Woman just came out this year.
Right.
It's like
right.
the time is so slow now.
Yeah. I mean, just because of that, look, Justice League. Here's the thing. And I mean, this is the same as Batman v Superman. By its very nature, it should be epic and grand and really feel like an event movie. And instead, it is not in the top five superhero movies to come out this year.
That's very true. It's a high competition this year.
Right.
But all like, the same.
Right. Well, I mean, but like, granted, Wonder Woman and Logan are better, but I'm like, okay, Spider-Man was better. Guardians was better. Thor was better. Is there another superhero movie? I don't remember.
The fact that I really did not enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and I 100% think it's better than this movie.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, it's.
But
this
is
not as bad as it could be, and that has to count for something.
Exactly.
In this
also,
world.
I think people are gonna like this.
Yeah.
And I think that other people like it more than we did. Like, the fact, it really does have good word of mouth.
Mary Beth was here with us, and she genuinely liked it. She was coming from, you and I knew more about it than she did.
Yeah.
And I think that helped her.
Okay.
But she definitely enjoyed it. And I think that if you are someone who is not, she is not necessarily looking for The Dark Knight or Logan every time she goes to see a superhero
movie.
Well,
neither am I.
She just wants a lot of fun. And I think that you can make the argument that, yep, there's a bunch of superheroes and they're all doing stuff and it's a good time.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like Spider-Man Homecoming, a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually good.
Well, and this, in a genre full of perfunctory climaxes, this is the most perfunctory I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
This is like the moment that they how do I say this utterly without spoilers? The moment that all of the pieces come together.
Avengers assemble.
Yeah. There's no question that they will win instantly. And there's no moment where you doubt that the pieces are going to come together.
They pretty much do. And also, there's not a lot of teamwork. And I know that that's a regular complaint against superhero movies.
Yeah.
But there's... It really feels like they are all present in the same location.
Right. But both halves of the key mid-movie fight scene in Civil War work together way more than the Justice
League
ever did.
That's absolutely true.
It's, yeah.
So, I have one more thing to say about Wonder Woman.
Yes, please.
It's, I feel like you could extrapolate spoilers from this.
Okay.
But, so, you know, turn your ears off or whatever if you're averse to that.
I'll say there's almost nothing you can spoil in
this.
Like, the one big thing we're avoiding talking about, literally everyone listening probably either knows or assumes.
Right.
But we'll leave it at that. Go ahead.
This movie does a disservice to how strong Wonder Woman is.
Yeah. She's kind of presented as probably the strongest one here for a while.
Right.
And it's...
She's like, stronger than that.
She is... Well, and one key sequence involves her and Aquaman having roughly the same level of success. And that shouldn't be happening.
I don't know Aquaman's deal, but he seems like he's not as strong.
Right.
And Wonder Woman is stronger than she is depicted to be in this film. It bothered me.
And they're inconsistent with it, where, like, one moment she will be the correct level of Wonder Woman intensity, and then the next moment she'll be, like, knocked aside like a, you know, a troll doll.
There's a lot of knocking people aside like dolls.
Yeah. I don't know why I went to troll doll specifically.
Hmm.
That's an interesting. I think for some reason I was trying to say the word nerf, but there's no nerf dolls. And I converted to troll doll in the mid. So, yes. And well, that was the thing in Batman v Superman, too. Zack Snyder, first and foremost, and whatever legion of people wrote this. Who wrote this thing?
It actually only had a few credits. It was Zack Snyder and some other guy had a story credit, and then some other guy plus Joss Whedon had the screenplay credit.
Okay. Ignoring five people for characters. Chris Tiero, who I think is the Zack Snyder writing partner, and Zack Snyder's story. Chris Tiero and Joss Whedon's screenplay.
Like I said.
Yeah. So basically, Zack Snyder and this guy came up with the story. Terrio went off and wrote it, and then Joss Whedon revised it.
Correct.
Those people, but Zack Snyder especially, continually display like a lack of understanding or even care with being consistent with these characters.
Yeah.
There's a scene early on where Bruce Wayne acknowledges he's Batman in front of a crowd of randos.
He is very sloppy with his secret identity.
Yes. Like, nominally those people didn't speak English, but he didn't check or care.
Also, proper names.
Yeah.
No language.
Yeah, that's true. But those people, not this is vaguely offensive, but to make a point, those people are hearing Batman, Bruce Wayne over and over again.
And they're going to put A and B together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why it can. Why do DC nerds defend these so hard? Because shouldn't they be more enraged than anyone?
I don't understand the subculture of people who love these movies.
I think they're like, I think they're DC, dedicated DC fans that are sick of feeling like they lost the moral high ground to Marvel and so are trying to make an argument. But because these movies are so sloppy with these characters and play so fast and loose with everything that has made DC dominant for so long,
right,
why aren't those people the most angry?
I think that this is like those pieces about the Trump voters and like, we know we're never getting our jobs back, but we still love them.
Yes.
I think that's what's going on with these DC fans.
I almost want to talk about politics in this movie, but it might be just a black pit of confusion. There's simultaneous in this movie. I mean, the answer to this might just be they're not thinking about it. But this movie simultaneously has moments that I'm like, is this like Make America Great Again nostalgia? And moments that like say super progressive things. Because there's a strong theme of like, because we don't have Superman anymore, because we don't have this like all-American ideal, the world has gone to shit. And I'm like, wait a minute. But then there's also like, you know, ecological messages. Like, this is just a mess of ideology.
I'm going to land on the side of they never thought of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I think this movie's pretty superficial.
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. This movie is mainly about what pecs and butts look like in spandex.
Yes.
And punching. That's Justice League. Okay. Let's do the brief version of an endless topic.
Wait, I wanted to give it a number score. Don't you do that?
We'll do it at the end.
Okay.
If I forget, remind me.
Okay.
Let's do the brief version of an endless topic. No, we are not going to talk about all of sexual harassment in Hollywood and society in large in the next 10 minutes. We are going to dial that way in. Robin already knows this. For the listeners, I am now on a list of about, how many people are in the Academy?
A couple thousand, I think.
Okay, so a couple thousand plus 300 people in the world who have now and or will ever own a copy of the Louis C.K. movie I Love You, Daddy. Because that studio, it's a small studio, and boy do I feel bad for them. They kind of just got caught up in some shit. This studio sent out a big package. There must have been a dozen movies in it. I watched one yesterday. It's called Thelma, Norway's submission for best foreign language film. It's a
good.
Yes, it's very good. It's that guy whose last name is Trier. That's not Lars von Trier.
Yeah,
Joachim Trier.
That sounds right.
Or yeah. It's a psychological thriller. She goes to college. She starts having seizures. Her seizures have powers. It's great.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, really good. Also in this package was the Louis C.K. movie, because they sent it just to the couple thousand people in the Academy and the couple hundred people in the broadcast film critics literally a day before the Louis C.K. story broke.
By the way, I completely made up the number a couple thousand.
I think that's right.
Okay.
It's... for some reason, 3,000's in my mind.
Okay.
So I have this movie, which in all likelihood will never be released. What do I do now? And why?
If I were you, I would watch it immediately.
Okay.
And that's because I hate myself.
Yeah.
And it just is, it's so awful that I couldn't stop myself from watching it.
Yeah.
And I would live tweet it,
mm-hmm.
and I would just let everyone dive into that pit with me.
Yes. I think, I mean, this is dangerous territory. There's a point here I don't want to end up making, but a point that has come out, the point that people have brought up, specifically in reference to Woody Allen, but which applies, which definitely seems to apply here from everything I know about the Louis C.K. movie, I Love You, Daddy, is perhaps when filmmakers display an intense interest in certain things, we should take that seriously.
Yes.
Perhaps if you have a Woody Allen who can't stop writing about old men and teenage women, there's something behind that. Perhaps when you have a Louis C.K. who can't stop talking in stand-up or now writing in film about masturbation, then maybe there's something to that. There. It's easy for that to go into a like a puritanical direction where it's like, be suspicious of people who are open about sex things. That's not what I want to do.
Of course not.
But I want to watch this movie to be able to say, okay, here's what happens in this movie. Here's what we know now. That there's meaning in that connection, right?
Yes. I mean, I think that's completely valid.
Yeah.
I mostly would want to watch it out of morbid curiosity.
Right, also that.
And also, I think because one of the things that's so interesting about I Love You, Daddy is that he's not only working through his own issues,
mm-hmm.
but he's grappling with, like, our cultural issues with Woody Allen.
Right.
Which is so much more gross for him to do. And
yeah.
I'm still grappling with my cultural issues with Woody Allen, so I'm interested in it from that angle as well.
Well, look, this is the bigger question, which we don't really have time for today, and like,
or maybe, in the rest of our lives,
or the rest of our lives, and maybe there should just be a whole podcast on the like art from artist question, but. A number of people have asked me my thoughts on this in the last week, and like, we are all now, I think, recalibrating the equation for that question.
I know that I am.
There's the question is, what bad things did an artist do? How did they deal with them? You know, time. Quality of art, like, I hate to put that in there, but at a certain level that's also relevant. I mean,
which is troubling,
which it's troubling, but at the same time, like, you have to think about Woody Allen, you don't have to think about Brett Ratner.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Right.
I yes, I guess so.
To a certain extent, obviously, like, we're all recalibrating that equation right now, and people are going to land in different places on it. But, you know, what are we going to do when various people land in different places? Do you know what I mean? Like, if I decide a year from now, and I don't think I will, but if a year from now I was like, yeah, I think it's okay for Louis C.K. to be a comic again, and you did not feel that way, would I feel like that would feel like a big thing, that a big difference between us?
Yes, but I very much have the attitude of this is something everyone needs to figure out for themselves,
right?
But that's as consumers.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that you get to be a consumer plus because you're a film critic,
right?
So you're like a cultural influencer, right? And I think that people like you, and then much, much more so people in the industry.
Yeah.
And so I guess you're in the industry of comedy, so you get two asterisks. Those people need to not just think about how they react.
Yeah.
Right? I think that if you don't care that people are sleazeballs and that mm-hmm. they're making art that reflects their sleazeballness.
Right.
And you just want to watch it and enjoy it, great.
Yeah.
Live your life.
Yeah.
But when you have influence over other people and you're legitimizing these people,
right,
that's when you're getting into enabling territory, and that's where things to me get much murkier in a bad way.
Yeah. Do you think that, you know, society will re-embrace Louis C.K. a year from now?
Unfortunately, I do, but yeah. That's very cynical.
I mean, there's an interesting test case in Roman Polanski where there have been, like, cycles of outrage and acceptance.
Yeah.
Right? Which have been closely related to when he actually made a decent movie.
Which, that's why I think I bristled so much when you mentioned, like,
right.
It matters with their talent. Like,
yeah.
No one is so talented that they're allowed to rape children.
Right.
So you don't get a pass on your monster behavior because
no.
you pass some hurdle of making good movies. And, like, I am still grossed out when I think about Roman Polanski winning Best Director for The Pianist mm-hmm. and getting a standing ovation in absentia. That's like
yeah.
One of the most gross moments of Oscar history for me.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, you know, when it happened, people, I mean, we were very young, but my impression is when it happened, people were like, huh? And then there was a couple of years of, oh, fuck him. And then there was a period of, no, it's okay. And then now there's another period of like, yeah, wait, fuck him. Like, both within movies, you know, the movie industry and criticism and film appreciation and society at large, we can't make up our mind on this
question. I think you're right. Yeah.
And I guess, like, for me, the central question is, yes, absolutely. It's outrageous that Roman Polanski would be given an Oscar for The Pianist and all of the Academy would stand up and clap and shed a tear that he can't be there. That's gross. Is it inherently gross that the job of directing The Pianist was awarded with an Oscar?
Right.
I don't know that it is.
Well, The Pianist also gets a huge distinction from most of the work of Woody Allen and certainly I Love You, Daddy, in that
right.
It is not a movie about raping children.
No, definitely not.
So that's, I think, a whole extra layer of yuck
yeah.
to I Love You, Daddy.
Yeah.
I would still watch it.
Okay. Well, then let's put a pin in this for now. I asked this question, what should I do? As if I don't know that I'm definitely going to watch that movie in the next 48 hours. And then afterwards, I'll let you borrow it. And we can talk about this again later in the year on the podcast. I am so much more paranoid about this screener than any other screener I've ever owned.
Paranoid about them coming after you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not for, like, lending it to you, although I probably shouldn't be saying that on
I
the podcast.
I was just going to say.
Because literally that's the one thing you're not allowed to do.
Right.
I'm not lending it to Robin.
I refuse.
I am going to watch it for critical, for awards consideration purposes. And Robin may or may not be standing outside of the window watching it through there. I wasn't involved.
I'm real sneaky like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. But, like, I wonder if like if you know some group from Reddit is going to break into my office and try to steal it, just knowing that I have it.
Oh, that's super creepy.
Like
and plausible.
Well, right. I mean, like, this isn't just like, hey, I have a copy of Call Me by Your Name early. This is like a commodity to some people.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go take this out of my office, probably right now. All that said, more on that later in the year. Justice League, the point score on a scale of 1 to 10.
This movie is such a 5
yeah.
that I feel like it is pressing through the number line
yeah.
to make 5 deeper into 5-ness.
This is... To you, this is the platonic ideal of 5.
Correct.
Which to me, tell me if this is what you mean. Like, a perfect 5, like a calibrated perfect 5, would be a movie which is neither bad nor good.
Exactly.
That is what this movie...
Yeah.
Chuck Klosterman had this thing years and years ago about the Van Halen song, I think it's And the Cradle Will Rock. It could be a different Van Halen song. But The Cradle Will Rock is... the, like, you know, the royal standard of the average song. every movie, which is every song, which is better than Cradle Will Rock, is a good song.
Yes.
And every song that is worse than Cradle Will Rock is a bad song. You are saying that Justice League is that. Anything
yes.
better than this is by definition a good movie.
Well, that's making me question saying yeah. that Guardians of the Galaxy is better than this, but yes.
Or above average.
Yes. Okay. Very good.
I am going 1 point higher and giving Justice League a generous 6 because in the way that, like, if you tried to shoot 10 baskets and 8 of them, you know, you accidentally threw backwards and then the 9th one went in, I'm going to be way happier for that than the average basket.
Like, that's true.
There are so many. This movie did lots of things wrong. There's also lots of other things that it didn't happen to do wrong this time. So a little more credit. But yeah, it's a very average movie.
Yep.
We are going to stop without a stinger at the end because I realized I had a spoiler question for Robin that I forgot to ask beforehand, and it's been bothering me the whole time. So, bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.